episode 74 of the Big Planet Comics podcast. How's it going?
Oh, good.
Ramping up the energy.
I was falling asleep
as
here.
I started. Yeah,
that's
you guys
ramped
both...
it up. Ramped it up. No, I'm good. Let's do
you
this.
You guys are both yawning and
before
stuff.
I've been working on something.
Yeah, you've been working on your let's talk about something first. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can check us out on Facebook.
Not only should you do that, you should rate us on iTunes.
That's what I was going to say. That's my fifth thing on here.
I'm
still going to say
I'm doing the theme.
Check us out on Facebook.
Yep.
Twitter.
Yep.
Tumblr.
Yep.
Review us on iTunes.
It's true.
So my name is Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
Yeah, and we're here. This is episode 74. It's getting exciting, you guys.
Hello.
That's a lot of episodes.
We should do. We're not going to do a live 75
because we're.
Even though I just realized that it rhymes. we are. We'll do something special. We'll figure something out.
Something spectacular.
75 top books.
We'll eat some pizza.
We'll just cut a slice out of the middle because some men like to watch the world burn.
It's true.
Let's do it.
So what's going on, you guys?
You know,
Nick's been working on his Magic Bullet comic.
Magic Bullet.
Just making Magic Bullets. Just working on a comic for Magic Bullet. Magic Bullet is a local DC Comics newspaper. Comes out quarterly.
I've got a new sound effect.
Anthology of comics. All local people.
And you're almost done.
Sort of. I should already be done, but I'm way behind.
Okay.
Yep. Cool, you guys are...
Kevin's also working on a Magic Bullet.
Mine's done.
Oh, bizarre.
But I didn't draw it, I just write.
Well, that's kind of smarter.
Yeah. I get somebody else to draw
it. The scripter of Nick's comics, I turned it all in, right?
Yeah.
The script's finished.
Yeah, I got the scripts finished earlier.
What about you, Jared? What's been going on?
My friend Mike, friend of the store, threw an awesome party over the weekend that was wedding-themed, as in he had a wedding ceremony where he was officiating, and everyone got assigned roles that they would play, like... underage cousin trying to sneak drinks, or like the aunt who thinks she's the fun aunt.
The hell?
You do weird stuff, man.
My friends are great. Yeah, so I was overly inappropriately religious cousin, which is pretty
nice.
Cool. I watched Robot Combat League, which is basically like Real Steel, but real. It's like real Steel.
Wait, what?
I couldn't believe it. So it's hosted by Chris Jericho, if you guys know who that is.
Well,
Y2J from the band Fozzy, the first unified world champion.
It's true.
But,
totally lost.
Yeah. But anyway, it's like people control these giant humanoid robots. One person controls the legs, and then another person has like stuff strapped to them, and they control the arms, and they like punch each other and beat each other up.
Are they inside them?
No, they're like in these control booths.
How does that work? Because I remember like years ago they had like...
It's like Real Steel.
Exactly like Real Steel.
All the universities would build like robots and then they'd try to smash each other.
Yeah, battle bots.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now they've evolved to humanoid battle bots.
Yep.
Yeah.
When did this happen and why was... Wow.
Like 2 days ago.
Okay.
2 days.
And was this the first one?
This was the first one.
Who
the
won?
The inaugural episode. Well,
did Crusher win?
I can't remember the one's name.
Did they all have awesome names?
Yeah, I think Frame lost.
Oh, Frame.
Hugh Jackman's
He had like a roll cage, but...
I was rooting for him.
But I think and George Lucas's daughter is one of the people that controls one of the robots because she's an MMA fighter.
Nice. You just blew my mind like on eight levels.
Let me just say that George Lucas's daughter is an MMA fighter.
What is a machine gun fire?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but it sounds like a typewriter. I wanted to use these together.
There you go.
Yeah. Buck. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing all week.
Cool.
Sounds good.
That's amazing.
Watching it
over and over again.
Yeah, round by round. And analyzing the tape, just seeing what's going on. That's about it. I think this is going to be a short episode. We don't have a lot of stuff to review. We do have a lot of questions. We sent out a call on Facebook, and a lot of people sent
responded.
Us a lot of... Yeah, some really dumb questions, some really good questions.
A good mix.
Yeah.
We won't say which are which.
Yeah. I think you guys will be able to figure it out. But should we do some news?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
This just in, WTF. DC has dropped the WTF logo from their comic.
Yeah, it's
we talked about it a while back, and...
I think that was last episode, wasn't it?
Was it?
Maybe.
Two episodes ago.
But people were complaining about it, and DC dropped it, and they're like, oh, well, we don't need it. We already got the press we wanted, so we don't need to use the logo anyway.
Yeah,
instead of being like, well, we just figured out that people were upset about it.
So if they just want press, they'll be like, we're killing all our characters. They'll be like, ah. You looked. We're just kidding. Buy our comics.
Dan Didio, co-publisher of DC. This was at the Comics Pro meeting, which is kind of like a meeting for comics retailers,
comics,
I guess.
Pros. And pros.
For pros.
And bros.
It's for comics pros. It's for novels by people that write comic books. It's the worst place in the world.
He's just for humorous novels.
He said, we don't need it, Dan Didio said. And he said, this is all secondhand from a retailer that was there, but Didio said that the books have attracted attention from the marketplace already, and retailers and readers are now aware of the significance of the gatefold covers.
Yeah.
So significant.
They know how of the intense feelings they're going to feel.
I wasn't sure.
Not WTF, but it's going to be intense.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a cheap gimmick? Yes, it's a cheap
gimmick. But now it's not anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gone. In other news, third annual Mini Comics Day is this March 24th.
Yeah, cool. That's fun.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Oh, wait, that's the wrong one.
If you don't know what it is, it's, participating cartoonists bring in their comics from around the world. They write, draw, and print them, and, you know, sell them to people. That's about it.
Yeah, it's cool. So just the idea is, like, on March 24th, if you want to, you should make a mini comic and then show people, and it's fun.
Their group's getting together, so you have, like, you know, encouragement, and you're all trying to do it together. So get on that internet and search for it.
Get on it.
It's going on.
It's a light news week. Definitely a light news week. Yeah, so that's it for the news. I guess we don't play this theme at the end, but whatever. I'm playing it anyway.
It's a good theme.
Yeah. I mean, did you guys hear any other news anywhere? Anything else going on?
There's a Superman Batman book coming out.
There is. It's drawn by Jay Lee.
Yeah, it is.
And written by Greg Pak, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird, because he doesn't usually write DC stuff.
Our reporter in the field at Comics Pro said that DC is going to be doing lots more of their Earth One books with different characters coming out soon on a faster schedule.
Cool. That's cool. I mean, they've been pretty okay so far.
Yeah. He's told me a bunch of other stuff. I already forgot it all. Very excited.
Weren't they supposed to do Wonder Woman forever ago? Is it still Adam Hughes doing it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was like...
it's coming.
Years ago.
Yeah, well, that's it for...
Let's hear some mail here.
Let's hear some mail. Yeah, we've got a bunch of questions, so let's do this. All right, up first we've got a question, comment, something from Jessica, who says, hey, I just wanted to say thank you, podcast people, for your suggestions for my woman club. The options were voted on, and we chose to read Now of Brown, which was definitely
a good one.
A book that we suggested. And my wife yelled at me because I hadn't showed it to her before and told her to read it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she loves it.
Oh, good.
She says, last Sunday, the women gathered, and I can report it was universally enjoyed. We had a great meeting, and we all talked about a lot about our own neuroses. And then it actually says smiley face, and then in parentheses after that is a smiley face. But it's a smiley face with the D, because if you did a regular smiley face in parentheses, it would just look like a smiley face with a double chin. And then, but she has a question as well. Well, first I'd like to say you're welcome.
Yep, that's what we do.
And I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. It's a good book. Everybody should check out Now.
Should we explain any of the context of that? Or just let's move on.
I think it's kind of explained. Well, basically somebody called us and they had a book club and...
we made suggestions.
And we made a suggestion and they used it and they liked it.
Moving on.
Moveon.org. For my next question, what character in comics do you imagine would have the best speaking voice and why? And it says, obviously, disregarding how they sound in film and TV adaptations. So this is just coming straight from the comics, who would have the best speaking voice. Thanks again, your best friend, Jessica, with many exclamation points.
I think the first one that came to mind for me was Doctor Strange. I think he would have an awesome voice.
Not if he's written,
I'm not going to attempt to do it, but yeah. No, it's going to be like, I don't know.
Just go for it.
I got it.
I'm not going to.
Jesse Custer.
Wait, like from Preacher?
Speaks with the voice of God.
Well, that is true.
That's pretty good.
But I imagine usually he just like mumbles. Yeah.
Occasionally.
I just
want to
hear somebody
voice.
Say Wanda Vatoom.
What about, let's see, who would have a good speaking voice? What about Guido from X Factor?
He would.
What?
You're like, hey, guys, yo.
Isn't that his name, Guido?
Yeah.
Strong guy?
Yo, I'm strong man.
He's got
a strong guy.
I think it's strong guy. He's got
strong bad.
He's got a little strong bad, definitely has a good voice.
Dupe.
Dupe. He would just be like,
that's true.
There you go.
He could be really sexy. You just don't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you.
It's true. He could be really sexy. I'm gonna have to delete that sound effect. It's so stupid. I don't know. Who else would have a good voice?
Thor.
Yeah, probably Thor.
A man thing.
Maybe. Man Thing doesn't even talk. I bet Black Bolt has a great voice when you hear it.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
A great voice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's hard, though, to forget the way he sounds in the movie, you know, yeah, and true. Think about it for yourself.
I'm going to go with the Purple Man.
The Purple Man?
Who is that?
He's the really creepy guy. He can control anyone.
Yeah. He can control people by talking to them.
Oh, like
or being near them.
Like the Psycho Pirate?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Other
No,
I think you were thinking about
it. No, I was, but I was trying to think of good speaking type people.
Purple man. All right, well, thanks for your question, Jessica. This is already the worst episode of the podcast we've ever done.
But I'm saying something.
But let's move on. So this first question is for Nick, because I have no idea.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so where do you think Marvel will go with the Punisher? I'm thinking Rachel Cole picks up the torch. First of all, I don't know who the Punisher is. Secondly, no, I know who the Punisher is, but I do not know who Rachel Cole is.
He's a Spider-Man villain. He has a gun.
It's Rachel Cole Alves, by the way.
There we go. This is definitely a question for Nick.
Don't you mean Sergeant Rachel
Cole? Maybe she busts him out of the underwater prison. The Punisher's in an underwater prison.
I have
no idea what's going on. So Joe Bradley sent in the question. He wants to know your thoughts, Nick.
Here's my thought.
Who is Rachel Cole? Who is the Punisher?
Rachel Cole Alves. Punisher is this guy whose family got killed, and now he kills bad guys.
Okay.
Rachel Cole Alves was a woman whose family got killed, and now she kills bad guys with the Punisher. And at the end of the new issue...
What is an underwater prison?
at the end of the new issue, she leaves and Punisher gets caught by the Avengers, like taken down. And she goes to L.A. and basically is the Punisher in L.A. So that's what she's doing. And then Punisher just got out of his jail somehow. I don't know. He's in Thunderbolts now.
It's true.
I don't think there's ever going to be... Like, it was supposed to be like... I think Greg Rucka was going to write more after that.
Oh, really?
It just kind of stopped. So I guess the Thunderbolt Ross is going to bust him out of prison.
Something. Because that hasn't actually happened in the Punisher Warzone thing yet.
No, it happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah. But
that's kind of...
But it hasn't been explained in Thunderbolts in any way, shape, or form, and I don't think it ever will be.
Well, hopefully that answers your question, Joe. Nick definitely answered it better than I can. Yeah. All right, so next question. How do you feel about my Marvel shoes? They are fly, right? This is from Caitlin Lamb. This is one of the questions that I was saying was one of the not stupid questions.
Yeah, I see them. They look great.
They look great. But do you even read Marvel comics? Because I don't think you do. So why are you wearing Marvel shoes?
Because they're iconic.
Because we're going to call you out right now.
Because they're marvelous.
Because they're from the movie.
I don't even know how to use this sound effect. I don't even know what's going on. No, I guess Vans just put out a bunch of Marvel shoes to mirror the Converse DC shoes.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's like throwing down from both sides.
I know.
I like it.
The Converse DC shoes just kind of suck, though.
They do.
The Joker
these
ones
at least
okay.
look kind of cool.
They have really stupid advertisements in the comics.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, so our next question. We got a ton of questions. Here we go.
Do it.
What do you think of DC's Green Lantern spinoff titles, such as the Red Lanterns and New Guardians?
Can I do this one?
And LAR, please.
Sure.
I don't.
You don't think about them at all?
Nope.
Well, we don't know about LAR, please, yet.
Yeah, I'm trying not to.
Well, Red Lanterns stinks, and New Guardians pretty much stinks as
New
well.
New Guardians is okay.
It's okay, but it stinks. I don't know. It's not good.
Green Lantern Corps is definitely the best of the spinoff books.
Yeah. But also, in a few months, Joshua Hill Fieldkoff is going to be writing both of those.
That's true.
Yeah.
So and they'll probably be a lot better.
Yeah. I think Peter Milligan is writing Red Lanterns right now, right?
Yeah. He's not doing a very good job.
I feel like Peter Milligan has never been. I actually am one of the few people that really liked his X-Men stuff.
Yeah. No, I liked it. All right. Yeah.
But I think for like mainstream superhero stuff, it's never really been what he's about.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say definitely check him out when Fieldkoff takes over. Thanks for your question, Salvatore Rowe.
Yeah.
Let's keep going, guys. I'm going to handle this next question. Is DC really considering killing off Robin? That's from Brian Green.
Yep. They've got like a call-in number where you can decide if he's going to die or not.
That's true.
Which Robin are we talking about?
We're talking about...
Red Robin.
No, we're talking about Damian.
The other Robin.
I'm going to answer this question. Is DC really considering killing off Robin? I'm going to say yes, they are very seriously considering killing off Robin.
I think they'll probably do it really soon.
Yeah, me too.
Crazy.
All right, so our next question. Thanks for your question, Brian Green. Next question is from... This is a lot of questions. is from Matt Dembisky. who's obviously sent in lots of questions before.
Always pronounce his name wrong.
Always pronounce his name wrong. It and is Matt Dembicki. Part
one. I don't
one.
Even know anymore.
Part one, can you order some current Ditko mini comics? We can.
Yep.
Should we?
We don't. Actually, I always wanted to. I think we probably should.
Yeah, why not?
Well,
let's make a decision right here, you guys.
Yeah. Ditko's, a lot of his stuff from the 90s when he was doing his own books were published as trade paperbacks.
No, his current DC.
Oh, I'm saying.
Comics,
but
or not DC mini comics. DC,
actually, I think he's in the process of doing like a Mr. A graphic novel in like a series of mini comics. And I'm, you know, cool.
Yeah, I'm saying like that sort of stuff has been published before. It was not super impressive.
It's not great, but it's super, you know, it is new Ditko, which is something. You know, his Mr. A stuff is very like objectivist propaganda stuff. Right.
Sold.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can get those.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, cool. I'll call him up.
All right, and then he has a second. He has a follow-up where he's following up on something that we followed up on. He says, number two.
I'm not following you.
Following up on your talk about speculators, are they really that bad for the industry, which often promotes speculation, in parentheses? I don't know. I think maybe we just more get annoyed with them.
Yeah.
They can be bad in the industry in certain ways because you get, like, artificial inflation, and then people get overconfident in what they're doing, and right. they think that they can just put out gimmick books and things True. Like that, and stories can suffer because of it.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of times things happen and they become these hot events. For example, Batman Incorporated number 8 that came out this week. And then speculators come in, they swoop in, they pick up copies. Multiple copies of the books from all over the place, and then regular readers can't get a hold of them because they go out of print. So I think things like that can be annoying to people that are diehard fans, and can tend to hurt things in certain ways. On the other hand, you know, people make a little bit more money during times when speculation is high. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know Jared has opinions
hate
on this.
Them
or Jared just he has one opinion.
Yeah.
I could talk about this for a very long time, but it would be ugly.
Yeah, so if you come to the DC store, we don't have any copies of Batman Corporate because I bought them all. So I'm selling them on eBay.
That's true.
But yeah, look for Nick the Greek 273 on eBay.
Too much Tzatziki at eBay.com. That's the numeral 2.
Buy it now, $1,000.
$1,000. Buy it now. Please. Because tomorrow nobody's going to care.
Yeah.
All right. So next question is from James Fahey. He says, what do you think Superior Spider-Man is going to become? And will Peter Parker return? I think he's going to become Peter Parker. And for your second question, yes, Peter Parker will return. basically, Superior Spider-Man is it's a new title.
Yeah.
But so Superior Spider-Man is, we've talked about it on here before. Basically, Dr. Octopus is in the body of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And but he also has all of Peter Parker's memories, and he is going around and being Spider-Man.
And Peter Parker's ghost is following him around.
Yeah. In a kind of Who is Jake Ellis fashion.
Yeah, he's in his mind.
Yeah. But so eventually Peter Parker's mind will take back over and he will become Peter Parker again, and the storyline will be over.
Well, they already like solicited an issue where it's like the end of Superior Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Well, like it all changes.
Did you read the new Avenging Spider-Man this week?
Yeah, that was pretty rad.
Definitely hints that bad things are coming.
Yeah. There we go. So thank you, James Fahey. All right, so the next question is from Jared Schilling.
Jared?
Good.
Okay.
It could only be Jared. He says, I just want to know how you guys felt about the ending of the new Uncanny Avengers issue. It's like so stupid that it's kind of awesome, but still incredibly stupid. I know both of you guys read this. I haven't read this yet.
I don't know. Do we want to just talk about it? I don't
know. It's pretty spoilatastic.
Well, just say what you thought about it. Don't say what happened in it.
I thought it was great and stupid.
There you go.
I thought it was stupid and okay.
So you guys both thought it was like so stupid that it's kind of awesome, but still incredibly stupid.
I thought it was mostly more awesome because it also has like, there's like so much going on in that
ending.
That's
true. I think as a whole, the ending, I think just the last page, I was like, ugh.
No, well, yeah, but I think it still was awesome.
The framework for it was cool.
Yeah.
Intrigued yet, Kevin?
Intrigued.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to read it. Yeah, I was going to read it anyway.
Spoiler, right. It skips ahead a few months.
It sounds like it's like so stupid that it's kind of awesome, but still incredibly awesome.
Yeah,
it is.
It is awesome. And the fact that it's Rick Remender,
yeah,
that gives me the confidence.
So is this the last John Cassidy issue, or is there?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So that's unfortunate.
He has passed away.
That is not true.
Wow.
From the comics world,
it's a yeah. It's a hot issue because of that.
It's a hot issue. Yeah.
So we've got one more question. Thanks for all the questions this week.
I know.
Yeah. I think we're going to send out a message on Facebook all the time because people seem to be into it.
And then people get burned out and stuff.
It's convenient because they're already on there looking at pictures of their ex-girlfriends on vacation with their new boyfriends. all right. So the last question is from Chase Miller. Cool name, Chase Miller.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Pretty rad.
He says, or she says, is Chase a boy's name or a girl's name?
Could be both.
Both.
All right. Well,
let us know, Chase.
Let us know. Hit us up at BigPlanetComics.com at HH Holmes on Twitter. Can Superman? I wonder if anybody tweets at HH Holmes and it's like just some guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a serial killer, you guys. anyway,
he's on Twitter. So.
Yeah, yeah. Can Superman heat up a burrito so hot that even he himself cannot eat it?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah. He's not God.
That's true. Jared, do you agree with that?
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I don't know if that's because I think Superman could just like eat lava.
I think the problem is that he couldn't possibly heat up a burrito hot enough without like destroying it. The burrito itself would not exist after what he heated it up.
So the answer is yes, because it would be destroyed and he wouldn't be able to eat it.
Yep. There you go.
Loophole. All right. Well, if you have questions, you can send those to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com or leave a message on our podcast hotline at 1-703-539-CAST. That phone number again, 1-703-539. You're not going to call it anyway, so I'm not going to say the end.
Oh, CAST.
Yeah, it's CAST. cool. Well, thanks for all the questions again. And you guys want to do some reviews?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We love comics. They're swell. Except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews.
What is that watery sound, you guys?
You lied.
Very exciting.
We're not doing reviews.
That's the sound of savings. so we're gonna start doing coupons for our podcast listeners. So nice. This week, if you listened last week, you know we loved the book Merman. Out of Water by Joey Weiser.
Yep.
Yeah. And so we're going to give podcast listeners 25% off that book. If you want to get that, just go to bigplanetcomics.com/out of water. That's all one word, out of water. And you'll find a coupon you can print out for 25% off a copy of Merman Book 1.
That's good. That book's awesome.
Yep. It'll be valid all this next week from Friday to Friday.
Week.
Yep. Cool. And besides that, let's do some reviews.
Yay.
No, we already listened to that song. All right. So up first this week, we've got Amala's Blade Number Zero by Steve Horton and Michael Dialonisis.
Sure.
Sure. This was originally published in Dark Horse Presents 9, 10, and 11, like a lot of these Number Zero issues. And it's kicking off, I think, a 4-issue miniseries. And I thought it was pretty cool.
So this is one of the best, I think, for an introduction to a new series that the Dark Horse Presents things have done, because it's not noticeably broken up into three chunks. It's very, you know, it's not like part one, part two, part... It just flows right into the next page. And... who's the guy who does Wet Moon? I'm totally blanking here.
Ross Campbell.
Very Ross Campbell-y art. Would you say that's
Ross Campbell-y?
Sure.
A little bit.
Good.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Anyway, weird fantasy world. There's a giant island with two warring nations that oppose each other for unknown reasons. And a girl who was apparently destined to bring them together and be the savior of the land. And instead is just kind of a bounty hunter pirate ninja warrior.
Also, I think it's post-apocalyptic.
Could be.
There's robots.
And kind of the big thing going on is she seems to be haunted by the ghosts of all the people that she's killed.
Yep. Or has let down or failed or... Is it?
I think it's all the people she's killed.
Isn't one of them her father?
Well, one of them is her father, yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
But all the other ones seem to be people she's killed, so maybe she killed her daddy.
Yeah.
So this entire first issue is her trying to kill a pirate chief on board his ship with his bloodthirsty crew of... I forget what it's an entire crew of one of the opposing nation who apparently are all cybernetic or can like remodel their bodies and move parts around, and it's weird high fantasy sci-fi
stuff. They're modifiers.
Yeah, it's cool. It's definitely a combination of a lot of different genres.
Yeah,
like you said, sci-fi and fantasy and pirate stuff.
Pirate.
Ghost. Yeah, pirate. Yeah, and ghost. But, yeah, it's all really well done. I feel like it's... it reads really fast, but in a good way. You know, it's paced. Yeah. The way it's paced is very exciting. The fight scenes are really well done. And I'd say the art maybe reminds me a little more of Faith Erin Hicks than somebody Ross Campbell.
Somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between those two, yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, but it's good. It's really good. Maybe the best of these numbers here. I don't know. There have been a couple really good
ones.
No, The
Creep was like...
The Creep was really incredible. Good. Yeah, Black Beetle
was pretty awesome.
This is better than Black Beetle, I think. But, yeah,
maybe.
The Creep's really good.
It's not better than Black Beetle. Black Beetle's really good.
Black Beetle's like feels like a lot of other stuff, though.
Whatever.
But it's got Franka VR. Yeah, but but this is great. Yeah, yeah. So
check it out.
We really liked it. Oh, wait, where is it?
Nice.
Anyways, up next we got... that's the stupidest thing that's ever happened.
Best podcast yet.
Up next we've got Five Weapons, number one. This is by Jimmy Robinson, who wrote Bomb Queen.
Bomb Queen.
I was going to say, Nick, describe this, but I know you weren't a big fan of it. So let's talk about it. This is about a kid who's starting at a new school, which is basically a school for assassins. It's called the School of Five Weapons. And he is the son of a really famous assassin, basically.
Tyler Shainline.
Yeah. And basically, it's about his first day at school, and the school's broken up into five different categories, and it's like knives, guns, archery, stabbing, and
exotic weapons,
bludgeoning, and exotic.
And ninja stuff,
and
basically.
Ninja stuff, yeah.
Shooting,
and you know, a lot of people know who he is or know his family and have a lot of expectations when he comes in, and it's basically it's basically the Sorting Hat sequence from Harry Potter spread out into a 5-issue miniseries, and. I don't know. I thought the first issue was fun. There's a little twist at the end, and things aren't quite what you expect.
A little twist.
I want to hear why Nick didn't like it.
I know why I didn't like it. Yeah. I mean, there are things to not like about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked it. I like the idea of it and like what's happening in it, but I thought it was not very well written. The dialogue was really weird.
The dialogue is a little stiff. It feels like a little. It's goofy purposely, but then at the same time, I feel like some of it's just goofy.
Yeah.
The art looks a little unfinished. Some of it looks like it's not inked. It's just pencils that
looks
are blown
like most
out.
Of those pencils. Yeah.
Yeah. Which doesn't always appeal to me. It has a soft look that I don't think really fits his art style very well. But overall, I enjoyed it, and the twist at the end is going to make me come back and read the second issue.
I love this. That's why I was wondering what Nick said. Like, it's like the kid is like he's trying to be a pacifist in this school where you have to pick one of these five disciplines and then join an after school club, which basically fights and duels and like teaches you how to do this stuff. And he's trying to be like one of those kids who, or just one of those protagonists who like outthinks everyone, which I think is a really interesting way to do it, especially without weapons and. Yeah, like I thought the twist at the end was amazing, and a lot of the characters have ulterior motives or are doing weird things that haven't been explained. So I thought a lot of cool mysteries are set up, and the background twist, the final thing, I thought was great. So,
yeah,
that was awesome.
I enjoyed it. I'll definitely read more of it. There was some stuff that I was just like, all right, it's like Jade the Blade and like Nick the Stick.
That was ridiculous.
Or Rick the Stick. I don't know.
Obviously, I blanked those out because I take that back. That part's terrible.
I was like, really, all five of these people just happen to be like the leaders? Anyway, but I mean, you know, it's a cartoony kind of book. And it's coming from the person who wrote Bomb Queen, which of course is... completely ridiculous, but yeah,
this is very cartoony.
It is very cartoony. All right, anyway, that's Five Weapons, number one.
It's good.
We do not I think Jared likes it. Oh man, I need to figure out what that is.
There we go.
Yeah, so up next, we only have three more books. This is a really short week. But this is a really good one. This is Guardians of the Galaxy number 0.1, the stupidest number that any
boom,
comic
boom, boom.
well, they do explain at the back that the Marvel Now 0.1 or whatever the heck it was called, their preview book for all the new Marvel Now relaunch stuff was supposed to include this as an 8-page story, and Bendis loved this so much that it expanded into this big issue.
Which is actually a good thing because it's a very complete feeling story. But yeah, this was written by Brian Michael Bendis with art by Steve McNiven, and that will be the team on the Guardians of the Galaxy book.
It also makes sense that it's not a number one because
it's a prequel. everything that's going to happen.
It's not even about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Number zero would have done. Point one was unnecessary.
I think they just, they love their point one thing.
Yeah. So this is pretty much just the origin of Star-Lord. It's about, it's got this weird kind of Steven Spielberg feel to it.
Yeah.
Well, where like his mom like meets this alien and falls in love with him and has a kid, and then the alien has to go back to fight his war. And the kid is older and he resents him and he wants to go find his dad, or, well, not really find his dad. He wants to go finish what his dad started because some bad stuff happens to him because of his dad. And
It's also that his, like, the dad leaves the mom before she even knows she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So the kid grows up without a dad. And this crazy mom saying, your dad's an alien who vanished before you were born. So he's got some issues.
What is he? Does she tell him that? I don't remember if she.
Yeah,
does.
Yeah, because he like is walking out.
He's like, "Don't tell me about this. I'm tired of hearing
like,
about my dad."
He yells up in the sky. He's like, "What up, Dad?" Yeah,
but yeah, it does have that Steven Spielberg kind of mixture of the suburbs and outer space stuff. Lots of like things glowing over tree lines and like stuff like that, but in a very good way. I actually feel like this was a really interesting issue because, like Nick said, it doesn't even really have the Guardians of the Galaxy in it.
No,
but it is. But what it feels like is a really complete story, which you usually don't get in a number one at this point, because it's going to be the first part of like a 4-part or 6-part or 12-part or 5-year story something.
Right.
But yeah, no, this felt very complete, but at the same time, at the end, launches right into what is going to be Guardians of the Galaxy. And I really enjoyed this. This is one of my favorite of the new Marvel books.
It was awesome. Yeah. I love the designs for all the spaceships in this.
Yeah, the technology was so cool.
Yeah, it has its own look, but it's also obviously inspired by all the stuff everybody knows, like Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica and stuff.
Like, I loved it, and the only problem I had with it was that I've read all the old Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about this is that it seems to ignore a lot of that. Just because,
like, the continuity, or like,
because,
does it refer to a specific like Guardians of the Galaxy race, or
because first of all, like, Star-Lord has been dead for a long time, and he has black hair, not blonde hair like he does in this. These are nerd things, but also,
<Go on. laughs>
but also the weird thing is like, the way it's introduced is that like he's just started all this stuff, like, I don't know, it's weird.
But it's his son, right? Is that what's going on? I'm a little I don't know a lot about
that. Star-Lord's not like the guy in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
So
it's really confusing.
The grown-up kid. And so the grown-up kid's continuity is much different.
Maybe he's the new Star-Lord.
Yeah. I had the same problem with Nova, because in Nova, it's like the son of some other Nova from Earth. And the Nova from the old comics from Earth is dead, but like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so that's a weird thing about this and Nova. They both seem to be about sons of of side characters from other stories.
But I think I think they're just going to just ignore all the previous stuff and just kind of make it new reader friendly and not even mention anything that ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I don't think this guy is supposed to be the same character, right? I think maybe he's just the new Star-Lord. Because
he's the same Star-Lord. He's the same name. Yeah.
Oh, like his not just Star-Lord, but his actual name is the same.
Yeah, he's the same guy.
Oh, weird. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Yeah. But otherwise, it's an incredible first issue.
Yeah. I found it really enjoyable. I've read some of that other stuff, but not enough to...
It won't be confusing if you've never read Guardians of the Galaxy.
I've never read it.
Incredible.
I thought this was amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
And man, so good.
All right, cool. Well, just two more books, but one of them is a big one. I feel like people didn't actually know that this book was coming out, but I feel like it's a huge thing. So this is Nemo, Heart of Ice. This is basically the new League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book, written by Alan Moore with illustrations by Kevin O'Neill, because it's a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book.
Yep.
And so this follows Nemo's daughter, who was introduced in the Century books. And it's just kind of a very Lovecraft-inspired adventure aboard the new Nautilus. Yeah, kind of.
Nautilus.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the one.
It takes place, I think, after the last series, because she's in that.
Yeah. So,
this is 1925, so after the first.
After the first part of the last
century.
Series.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's strange. But I actually really like this. I thought it was got back to maybe the more adventure based roots of some of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen stuff.
So the start is that basically they cross paths with a mysterious African queen who is somewhat supernaturally and steal her stuff. And basically they are they assemble a American League of Extraordinary Gentlemen to hunt down the new Captain Nemo. And the way they track her down is when she's like, my father disappeared when he was on an expedition in Antarctica, or he, you know, I just want to go down there and see what's going on. And so they go down there, and then they're being hunted down by the Americans. But the twist of all this is basically it's the Antarctica of H.P. Lovecraft's At the Mountains of Madness, which we reviewed a comic book version of, and things go terrible for everybody.
I feel like that's like a spoiler. No. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
I knew.
But yeah, it's definitely exactly that.
I mean, they got the other, you know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen stuff where it's like every weird magical crazy thing that's ever been.
Here's a question:
Antarctica is mixed in. But
did you guys know who all these different characters were?
I figured that Swift, who's one of the Americans, is the Tom Swift books kid, okay, who was like an old sci-fi dude.
Oh, okay.
The other two, I had no idea. Anybody?
No. Who's the queen? You know?
Oh, that I don't know either.
I know.
The Cliff's Notes.
I know the first panel has Popeye in it.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Well, he's a member of the Nautilus crew, right?
Who, Popeye?
Oh, no, he's not.
No, he's just up there in the first panel. He's, like, working the docks. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I thought there was a Popeye character who worked on the Nautilus.
I don't know. Now we're just, like, oh, we don't know what's going on.
Nothing.
But anyway, so I feel like the last few League of Extraordinary Gentlemen have been very, like, very character-focused and reference-focused as opposed to story-focused. Okay. And this one seems to be much more of, like, an adventure. Basically, the whole thing's a chase. It's like people
two
are trying...
Two teams on the ice.
Yeah, there are two teams trying to get to this place at the same time. Well, one's trying to get here, and the other one's chasing them, basically. And, and because of that, it ends up being fun. It reminds me a little bit of Atlantis, the Disney movie.
Yeah. also, a little bit of Aliens versus Predator, like the first movie.
Not Requiem, but the first one.
I don't know why.
Really?
No, I know why.
Oh,
but it doesn't really remind me of that.
Oh,
they do find an ancient pyramid under the ice.
That is true.
True.
Yeah. And anyway,
and then they find an alien.
Yeah, but I mean, Jared, I know you're a big Lovecraft fan. I'm sure you must have liked this a good bit, right?
It was amazing.
Yeah. So there's some interesting stuff in here. There's a part where you know, when you see Lovecrafty things, you go insane.
Yeah.
And Alan Moore plays some tricks with his storytelling that I think,
yeah,
really cross,
really
well,
work,
yeah,
and really are confusing, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a few things throughout this thing that are kind of like that, and it kind of feels like old Alan Moore again.
Yeah,
right,
really.
Yeah. Well, there's another Nemo book coming out too.
Huh?
There's another Nemo book.
Another League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Nemo.
Just
book?
A Nemo one. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like recently he's, you know, he's kind of been doing weird stuff. Well,
the last League book was like completely off the deep end.
Yeah.
It was like, it was good, but it was definitely crazy.
Had Harry Potter in it.
Had Mary Poppins. Had Mary Poppins in it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's Nemo Heart of Ice. Yeah, I'd say if you were into the first two League books and then maybe it got away from you at some point, definitely come back and check it out because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's only one page where I was like, what?
But was it on purpose?
No.
Yeah. Oh, that there's a two-page spread that's pretty great with people talking backwards in French with animal heads.
Oh,
but
yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. All right, so one last book this week. This is Rocketeer Hollywood Horror Number 1. This is by Roger Langridge, who, of course, wrote... is writing the Popeye stuff now and wrote
Jay
Snart.
Bones.
And yeah, and by stuff. Jay Bone, who, what has Jay Bone done? I always forget.
I do too. A million.
He did this with
Allison Dare.
He did a Wonder Woman thing a while back.
Yeah. Was that
he
Taurus?
Did that Wonder Woman Adventures thing and he did Allison Dare. Yeah. So Nick, I know you enjoyed Hollywood Horror a lot. Why don't you?
I enjoy Hollywood and I enjoy horror.
Break it down for the kids.
All right. So the Rocketeer, he's this guy with a jetpack. He found it from some Nazi scientists.
So wait, this is
did he really?
He no, something like that.
This is written by the guy that directed Jurassic Park 3, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's dating Betty Page.
Basically. I mean,
it's a rough life.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, the weird thing is this isn't connected to any of the other Rocketeer stuff that's come out. It's kind of...
Isn't it?
Its own thing.
Isn't it?
Well, it's the same character.
There's references to...
Well, references to stuff that happened in the past, but...
In the last series?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Oh, man.
Nobody talks about pterodactyls or dinosaurs or anything.
Don't argue,
keep
you
going.
Guys.
Or Dracula. But yeah, the weird thing is this is a lot more cartoony than the last series. It's very much just like a straight up like wacky cartoon.
Yeah, it feels very much like if this came out like 10 years ago, it would be called Rocketeer the Animated Series.
Right, right.
Page 12, next to that, your boss, the guy with the year-round suntan, said he'd leave us alone. So he changed his mind. Isn't that referring to the last series?
No, I don't think
Cargo
so.
Of Doom?
No. I don't think these guys were in the last series.
Really?
Anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah. Regardless.
I'm helping.
Yeah. I really like this. I don't know. I don't even. There's not much else to say about it because it's pretty straightforward. Rocketeer fights a bunch of guys, and there's some mysterious happenings going on.
Yeah, basically, some guys show up and they want the Rocketeer technology, which is basically what happens in every Rocketeer story. Yeah. But the thing with Rocketeer, I mean, a lot of the stories are similar, but it's just high adventure stuff with fun romance and comedy. Yeah.
There's an insane ending in this.
Yeah, and Jay Bone's art in this is really good.
It's really good.
It's I feel like sometimes in the past he's been a little inconsistent, but I thought that this was a lot of fun. And definitely fits his art style, which is very Bruce Timm,
Darwin Cookish.
Yeah, and it was a good start. Yeah, the end. There's a crazy thing at the end that that fits into some other stuff we were talking about tonight. And you'll notice it when you read it. But Rocketeer number one.
We do like it.
Yeah, we do like it. Yeah, we didn't review a lot of stuff this week, but pretty much everything was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Except for Five Weapons.
I loved it.
So that's the end of our the worst episode ever of the Big Boy Comics podcast.
I think that was the best episode.
Oh, did you like it? All right, we'll see you guys next time.